preserve, baby, preserve. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Biden out with an order to ban more offshore oil and gas drilling 2 weeks before leaving office.
This is the radical left environmental extremists in his administration who don't care about what's in the best interest of the American people.
Incoming Trump White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt tells Fox the president-elect still plans a drill, baby, drill agenda of increased production. Here's what's in the Biden order.
The president is protecting the entire U.S. coast, as well as portions of the Gulf of Mexico, Pacific Coast, and Northern Bering Sea from future oil and gas leasing. In all, the ban blocks 625 million acres of U.S. ocean from drilling. President Biden says his decision reflects what coastal communities, businesses, and beachgoers have long known, that drilling could cause irreversible damage to places held dear.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. Soon the president will travel to New Orleans to meet with victims' families from the New Year's Day terror truck attack by Army veteran-turned-ISIS supporter Shamsuddin Jabbar, who killed 14 people.
Authorities say Jabbar made at least two trips to New Orleans in the months leading up to the attack. The FBI says by using Meta glasses, Jabbar recorded himself biking through the French Quarter.
That's Fox's Madison Scarpino in New Orleans. President-elect Trump is trying to block his sentencing set for Friday in New York, where he was convicted of falsifying business records related to 2016 payments to keep an alleged affair quiet. A Trump spokesman calls the sentencing unlawful and the case a witch hunt. In 3 hours, Congress will gather in a special session to certify the Trump election victory 4 years after his supporters tried to block the Biden win.
A mob infamously entered the Capitol and interrupted the proceedings. Capitol Police say they're prepared this year with increased security measures both at the U.S. Capitol complex and elsewhere around Washington.
Fox's Evan Brown. Washington could have been a lot of snow and a storm that's caused thousands of power outages and flight cancellations. America's listening to Fox News.
If pain is affecting your life, I have the perfect New Year's resolution for you. Make 2025 the year of feeling good again. The year of moving better, sleeping better, feeling more alive. And do it with Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It reduces or eliminates pain. Over a million people have turned to Relief Factor, and I'm one of them. I take Relief Factor and recommend it to you because it worked for me. Feel the difference it can make in your life. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day, and it takes one phone call. 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. You can start feeling better in 3 weeks or less, and every day you feel better is a day you live better. Wherever you're hurting, neck, back, joints, muscles, make 2025 the year of feeling good again. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran Norris. Well, the first Ag Fest took place in downtown Yuma this weekend. It kicked off at 10 a.m. Saturday morning with hundreds packing Main Street until 9 p.m. that same night. Formerly known as the Yuma Medjool Date Festival, the reimagined event celebrates the city's agriculture by offering fresh farm-to-table bites to those who attend it. And after years of planning and construction, the Kennedy Skate Park officially reopened this weekend. The city of Yuma unveiled the brand new upgrades during a ribbon-cutting ceremony Saturday morning. The renovations include a unique and redesigned skate park that community members came out and enjoyed. Professional skateboarder Ryan Lay, known for his advocacy work and ties to Yuma through his family, was among the first to test the new skate park. The skate park was first built in 2000 before plans for remodeling began back in 2021. Construction officially started last year. The project cost nearly $3 million. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Do you hear this? Every parent needs a break, right? Hi, I'm Wes McDowell with the Wes McDowell Insurance Agency. If rising insurance rates are keeping you from having date nights, then call our office at 928-305-1607 for a free and hassle-free quote. That's 305-1607. Let us see if we can save you money so you can have a night away from all of those loud kids. Good luck with that.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the Patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Have you been to Paris?
No.
Never been to Paris.
So.
Really? That surprises me.
I know. I've only been to Europe, Italy, and London. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go to Paris.
Well, it reminded me, your housekeeper story reminded me, the first time I was in Paris, we went from Barcelona to Paris by plane. And I get off, and I was holding, I had to go potty bad. I was holding it the whole time. So we land at Paris airport, and I go in, so busy, you know, people in and out and stuff. I'm there at the urinal, and it's all fancy looking in the airport. And there's, like, women in there, workers, like you're saying, like, just workers.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there doing my business in the urinal, and she's, like, mopping around me in between my legs and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, hey, what's going on here?
Welcome to America. We're uptight about it.
I know, it is.
It's the world. It's not that big a deal.
It's not. It's not.
I think we're getting more and more uptight about it because when I was a kid, we used to shower after PE.
Oh, yeah.
And seventh grade, used to shower after PE, which was a bit awkward because, you know, seventh grade is always, you're going through that phase. Like,
yeah.
Some people look up.
Not everyone's there yet.
Yes. And other people have it. And it's like, whoa, you're different.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's a pivotal moment when you realize we're not all created.
And so my, yeah, because,
hey, yeah.
Hey.
It's only going to go one of two ways for you from that moment on. Yeah.
Oh.
Have you carry it a little bit?
What?
You? I can also recover hair.
Well, we got Chris back on. Chris Thompson, you're a good friend. We're Facebook friends.
Facebook friends, yeah.
Instagram friends. I don't know if we're good friends, but yeah. We're working on it. Working on a relationship. But we thought it'd be fun to have you back on. Oh, nice. I just recognize your docs.
Oh, yeah. These are Doc Martens. Really new.
Those are brand new. I can tell by the leather.
Well, they're actually rewears, though.
What does that mean?
So people use them, and then you can turn them back into Doc Martens, and they'll refurbish them. New soles. Fix anything, so they're a little bit worn, but not by me.
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
more for that.
No, you pay a little bit less, but I like that they're a little bit worn.
Yeah.
And so I recently went and saw Zach Bryan in concert, and he was wearing a pair, and I was like, you know what? I used to have all kinds of Docs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because everything's coming back. Right. Yeah. Well, my kids are wearing clothes that I wore in high school, baggy and, you know, flannels. And I saw No Fear's back, Vision Street, we were the Aggie. No Fear.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So time to break out all the stuff you saved from high school.
Well, give it to Jordan Orson. He used to only wear No Fear.
Really?
And
really?
Ninth grade.
Exclusive brand, huh?
Yeah. He's
a sponsor. Yeah.
Guarantee he was not sponsored.
Mm-hmm. There was some fear there.
Really? he was a pretty chill guy in high school. Didn't do a lot of sports or.
Yeah. And he was actually there to learn.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I went to Dillard's the other day for that specifically. They didn't have any of those.
Really?
Yeah, and he sold me these.
Are
Johnston and Murphy, which okay. I love that brand. But
is
I wanted.
Chelsea boot?
Yeah, it's a Chelsea okay. boot. I went to get those Docs. And they didn't have any.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are the...
So I ended up getting these, and look, it's been 2 months. Look at this.
8 holes. 2 what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, but you don't suit your shoes when you get home and start doing frauds, I see it.
No, I do not.
Yeah.
No, but you wear those out on the range, right?
Yeah.
They're all scuffed up.
Yeah, I wear these everywhere.
Yeah.
Most sometimes.
Day to night.
Yeah, I wear them to bed.
It's a good choice.
You gotta sleep with your boots on.
You never know.
Nothing on top but boots on the bottom.
That's right. Well, you gotta be able to run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
What goes on is not the same experience.
Did you try a cookie?
I did have a cookie, the European cookies. Yeah. We got these sent to us from people that we buy paper from, at Dunder Mifflin or something like that. And yeah, they're good cookies. I don't know if we'll buy more or less paper from them because of them, but they were at lunch yesterday.
Well, it's a good way to influence you.
Yeah. So talking about cookies, you're going to be opening a new business coming this summer. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. So my wife and I are, we're purchased a franchise of a company called Twisted Sugar. And we should be opening late August. The building plans are almost done, but it's a gourmet cookie shop similar to like Crumble or one of those, but then also combined with a soda shop, so you can get all your custom mixed sodas. My favorite is a Dr. Pepper with raspberry puree and then coconut cream.
Puree?
Yeah, so actual.
Oh, smoothie.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes it a little creamier and, you know, fruity with the raspberry. It's delicious and refreshing. Yeah. But yeah, it's really good. They're all over. It's one of the fastest growing franchises in the nation.
Sounds like a Utah type of franchise.
Yeah, it started in Utah. It's now headquartered in Gilbert.
Really?
Yeah. There. It was recently purchased by some new owners who are back in Utah. So now it's back. Home base is now back in Utah, but you know, you've got Swig and So Delicious. They're all over kind of Gilbert or Phoenix.
It's like the Starbucks for the LDS community.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who likes soda and you know, you kind of get your Starbucks in the morning and then you kind of get your afternoon fix with a soda in the afternoon. I used to be a real soda consumer all the time and kind of backed off of it a little bit. So it's nice to get something a little different. You kind of get stale.
Yeah.
You know, always drinking the same thing. So now
my wife and I, we want to go out to get something, but I'm not hungry. And so I want to get something, you know, just to have
a little snack or something.
Yeah. Can you disclose where it's
going? Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be on Avenue B and 20th Street. So everyone knows where the Dairy Queen is, right? On Avenue B and 20th Street. So right across 20th Street from Dairy Queen. So they're next to Centennial.
Middle school sock cloth.
Yeah, there's a car wash right
there. In that subdivision, yeah, is where it'll be. So, yeah, there'll be, so we're building a new building for it, have drive through, all that good stuff. We thought, you know, Yuma is pretty homogenous when it comes to food offerings.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we travel is to try different foods and things that we don't have here. So when my wife and I thought about opening one of these because we think it'll do really well, and we think Yuma's ready for something a little different like that.
Yeah.
Some bring something that people can get excited about.
You've introduced a few new businesses and concepts to Yuma. Mm-hmm. The treehouse was a new concept.
Yeah, the treehouse was a new concept when we started that. My wife Edna and I started the treehouse with Bobby and Sabre Lemon. She's now at the Children's Museum, so shout out to the Children's Museum.
Where she works at the Children's Museum?
She's the director.
Oh.
Yeah, so she runs the show over here.
Okay.
Yeah, she's done some amazing things with that. But, yeah, so we started the which was Yuma's first and only drop-in daycare. So, and it started because we had two little girls, and my wife was like, gosh, I need a couple hours a week to be able to just run around and get errands done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'd be nice to have a place where you could drop the kids where you know they're cared for and they can have fun. And so we started one, and it still exists. It's exploded. We sold it to a friend of ours who wanted to take it to another level, and so now they have a full-blown school and preschool and still have drop-in.
And used to be located on like 4th Avenue and like 18th Street or something like that.
Yeah, right in there.
Now where is it located?
So now it's over on, I think it's Virginia Drive. So it's on, just east of 4th Avenue near 24th Street. They purchased the old, one of the old schools from, I think, District 1 Elementary School.
Okay.
And so they run a full-blown school with, you know, but you can still do the drop-in childcare program. So if you just need a couple hours or day night or whatever, you can drop the kids off and they, you know, have fun, and there's lots of other kids there. And so that was a great experience. We did that. But, you know, trying to make Yuma, you know, someplace where we want, you know, we want to have these things. We want to have these things in town.
It's quite the embarkment to go and start a whole new franchise.
Yeah.
It's one thing to take something that you've seen do well.
Yeah.
And try to duplicate it or just expand your current business. But a whole new franchise, I mean, that's a bold move.
Well, and people don't know what it is. You know, some people don't know what Swig or So Delicious or Twisted Sugar. What's Twisted Sugar? What is that? Oh, it's a soda shop. What do you mean? Like a full blown, like they just like Circle K? It's like, no. It's, you know, like custom sodas, like thousands of different mix-ins and stuff. And so it's kind of a...
And it's just drive-thru. There's no...
No. There'll be a little bit of interior space too. So okay. A little bit of dining space, but... the cookies are incredible. We love the cookies. When we got the franchise, we really bought it just so we could have the recipes. And so we have the recipes in advance, and so we've been making those to kind of test them out.
Yeah.
We've been delivering them to friends and things and having people try them, and they're just fantastic. They're just great.
Yeah, you delivered them to us, I think it was like the 23rd or 22nd.
Yeah, right before Christmas, yeah.
And they were amazing, and I'm not a foodie, so... You know, if it's sweet and crunchy, I'll eat,
yeah.
Right? But these were delicious, and I really liked, what were they? They were, it was a...
It's a sugar cookie with coconut frosting, and then each one served with a little wedge of fresh lime. And so then squeeze the lime on the cookie. And that lime and the sweet is really good.
Yeah, the problem is you can eat so many of them before, like, the... sugar sickness hits.
Oh, yeah.
Because the lime is like this, it's really refreshing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Hey, too late.
That's the goal. That's what we want.
Yeah. Okay.
People to just be completely beef-witted with cookies.
And Twisted Sugar is both a soda spot and
a cookie.
It's the same brand. It's not a different brand.
It's all the same menu. Yeah. Right. So it's cookies and sodas. And you can buy one cookie or you can buy dozens of cookies and special orders and all that stuff. So we'll promote it more once things kind of get open and running, and we'll be looking for help. And
construction starting in February.
Hopefully construction starting in February, yeah, if everything goes according to plan. So the land's purchase, lockdown plans are almost done. They'll be submitted to the city. We'll get started.
Your architect's just dragging his feet on that.
Yeah, well, you know, architects take forever. So
never.
Who knows what those guys are doing.
How long do you think the process will take to be approved by the city?
Usually the permit process for a brand new building, we usually tell clients that, you know, it takes 4 to 5 weeks. You get the first round of comments back in 3 weeks. Usually takes about a week to respond to those if there's changes. The city, you know, does a great job, but they get paid to make comments. So you're going to get, you know, comments. Some comment they need to respond to. And then 2 weeks later, they'll usually call you back and say, okay, your permit's ready.
I don't want to reveal any secrets here, but is there a subpar version that you put through on purpose just because they feel the need of putting in comments and you've got that finished version just waiting there?
No, yeah.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Forecast for Yuma and the surrounding area, going to get windy on us this week today. Beautiful day, sunny at 75, 47 overnight tonight. But then sunny and windy with a high of 69 on Tuesday, 55 tomorrow night. Those winds at 20 miles per hour. Wednesday, sunny, 15 to 20 mile per hour winds and a high of 70. 48 on Wednesday night.
At Hospice of Yuma, we believe that everyone deserves compassionate care, especially when it matters most. As the area's only nonprofit hospice, our mission is simple: to provide high-quality, compassionate care to all who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. Our team of skilled professionals and dedicated volunteers work tirelessly to ensure that your loved ones receive the care and support they deserve. We focus on comfort and dignity, helping families navigate this difficult time with grace and understanding. Choose Hospice of Yuma for quality care that puts you and your family first. For more information, please contact us at 928-343-2222.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of Eldorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
We've had it happen several times where you get no comments, where it sails through.
So you're actually aiming for no comments.
Oh, yeah. Your goal is as few comments as possible. Okay. We got one back the other day. It had four comments on it. They were all pretty mundane, and you kind of thump your chest a little bit as an architect, like, all right, you know, we got everything. Our plans are complete.
Because I help with Medicaid applications, and there's some that I purposely send through I know are not going to be approved, but it's a guessing game sometimes what issue they're going to
have.
Uh-huh. And so I send it through, and then when they say, okay, this is the issue that we're going to really focus our attention on, then I know where to focus my attention on. Otherwise, it's kind of a guess.
Sure, you're kind of guessing.
No, if everything's clean right off the bat, then yeah, hopefully I can send it through. But a vast majority of them, they're going to get declined on the first application. So, anyways, I wondered if you had that same.
No, I think we've been doing it pretty long enough that you know it's pretty predictable, kind of what the issues might be. You know, sometimes the one I got back is we missed a fire extinguisher. We need that in the fire extinguisher and. It's actually helpful. A lot of people think that plan review process is some kind of drag or, you know, hey, it's slowing me down. But it's actually helpful to have this other set of eyes that's trained to look for things. You know, you've been looking at a project and designing a project for 4 or 5 months. You kind of get tunnel vision with it. You know, you don't see everything. And having that second set, that second review of people that are looking for specific things is helpful, and it's all there to keep you and your owner out of trouble. You know, if heaven forbid you have something happen and, you know, there wasn't this fire extinguisher at this distance, to help put the fire out. So it's all meant to deliver a better product. But yeah, I mean, when you get that comment list, you're kind of, oh, you know, it's going to, now I got to fold this into my week.
Is it a 50-50, like, oh, that's helpful, or that's just ridiculous? Or is it old enough?
Not so much ridiculous as a lot of what we have to put on the drawings these days is more kind of code-related and kind of
bureaucracy.
Exactly.
And doesn't really affect the construction.
Are the codes common sense?
The codes are developed with the help of insurance companies and others to mitigate risk to the public. And so that's why it's important that the building meet those codes, because it makes for a safer building. Think about every building you've walked into. You know, you have no idea who's designed it. You have even less idea who maybe built it. You don't know what their qualifications are. You don't know if it's safe. I mean, you see beams and decking and things, and you hope that that's strong enough to keep the roof up. But you don't really know. So in the U.S., we have the International Building Code, which kind of stipulates kind of
really
minimizes all things.
I thought like the U.S. kind of dictated everything around the world.
I think we're the ones. I mean, we're the ones that do it. Not every country recognizes that building code as the building code.
Do we incorporate other countries as much as we put in as far as the building?
No, and it's interesting. It's the International Building Code, but all the maps, all the graphs, all the charts are pretty much focused on North America.
The way it should be.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean.
Well,
we don't want to offend our international listeners.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zimbabwe. Getting to things that we hate. We've got this very intricate sprinkler system throughout this building. And as we were remodeling, that was the toughest part of working around that and getting that rerouted. And it's been, I don't think I've ever heard of a building in Yuma being saved and the dozens of patrons in the building being saved because the sprinkler system went off.
No, it has. It has. If it's doing its job, if it's functioning properly, really, you know, and the alarm system's functioning properly.
Alarm system.
It's not necessarily designed to save the building.
No.
It's designed to give you enough time to get out.
Yeah. Because it's going to destroy everything in our building.
Yep. Yep. It will. Yeah. So, you know, you'll have to basically rebuild the walls, the drywall from the sheetrock up, all new flooring. So, yeah, it doesn't save the building. It's not meant to. It's for life safety. Uh-huh. So we want to get you out of the building. And so different buildings have a certain rating, how long you need to get out of the building for it to be safe for you to get out.
Ours seems to be pretty robust. And I wonder if it's overkill, because there's a certain point where you spend so much money.
Well, and City Yuma has made some improvements. They recently revised the fire sprinkler ordinance. It used to be any building over 500 square feet, public building, commercial building, had to have fire sprinklers, period. That's it. 500 square feet is pretty small.
Yeah.
So they've recently increased that to 2,000. So you can have a building 2,000 or under. Yeah. Public building, and it not require fire sprinklers, which sounds like a good thing. The nice thing about fire sprinklers, it does a couple things. One, it, you know, peace of mind, you know, Decent Garner and Hanson, you want peace of mind, you know, as you go through life doing estate planning. Think of it kind of like that. So you've got this fire sprinkler system. If there was something to happen in the building and people were here, they can get out. Or if there was something happening in the building, you know, you don't have buildings close to you, but that's not true for a lot of the country. So if your neighbor's building catches on fire, that fire sprinkler system will give the fire department more time to get there before it gets ridiculously out of control and potentially spreads to your building.
So there's
some good benefit to it.
And I'm blissfully ignorant about is that the fire sprinkler system has preserved a lot of buildings from spreading the fire to other buildings that maybe I just don't know about because I take it for granted. Another thing that, let's get into a list of things we hate.
Okay. We're arguing over this. I hate.
Okay, so I'm going to
still hate.
Good. I'm gonna wet the whistle a little bit.
All right.
Here. One of the things that I hate is when a huge fire truck goes to every emergency call. And I've talked to the emergency responders. And whether it's somebody falling down in the bathtub or whatever, trip and fall, if they call 911, there's ambulances and a 40 foot fire truck driving to the scene. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be blocking more traffic, and especially wherever it parks, impeding whatever's going on there, than is necessary. It should be at most a suburban going over, and I've asked some other first responders, why? Why is it a fire truck? And they said, well, you know, you never know what you're going to find when you get there. Well, if it's somebody that's calling about somebody who's fallen in the bathtub, you have an idea of what you're going to find when you get there, and it might not be a blazing fire.
Sure.
And so I don't get that. So that's one of the things I think is significantly wasteful of our taxpayer monies, especially, you know, firefighters are very sympathetic individuals, and as an organization, you want to contribute to firefighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
First responders. But when I see them driving that truck all around, and I see very few blazing houses that they're speeding toward, I wonder if we're wasting our resources there.
Curious. I don't know. I've experienced the same thing and wondered, you know, you need 8 cops there for, or a fire truck there for this or that. Some of it's likely support. I know those trucks carry a lot of items. They're just there for help. So maybe they don't know what they're, you know, why this person fell in the bathtub. Did they fall because their kitchen's on fire and they just realize, oh, I left the roast in the oven and my kitchen's, and then they scramble to get out of the tub and they fall and hit their head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a very generous stretch.
Some of it's probably training. Hey, this is a good opportunity for us to practice.
If they
how quick can we get there?
Yeah. We're going to use our truck. Come on, let us use our truck. Most of the walls getting dusty.
No, no.
All right, fine.
You've got a couple friends that are firefighters. Let's reach out to them and ask them.
Okay.
Yeah, the one thing they have that I would love to have is they've got that they can change the lights as they drive. So they can change the street lights, the red lights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you can change that. And I think there's been some cases where people have tried to steal those and
Definitely. If I got that light working, or it was
us, one of the things I hate, we're talking about things I hate. Hey, Yuma, is the traffic lights. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many, and they're not synced. When I lived in Tucson, they were synced, and they would actually have signs that if you drive the speed limit on this, you know, 2-mile stretch, mm-hmm. you will hit every light green if you drive the speed limit. So it has a couple benefits. Is it manages traffic. It keeps people from speeding. If you speed, you're going to get out of sync, and you may hit a red light. So it's
oh, the Yamaha's in Tucson actually has some good ideas.
Yeah, they've got some good ideas. They've done some good things. And Yuma doesn't have that. They're not synced. But I question that because I feel like once I hit one red, all the time they're all red.
All the way down. Being hurt.
Well, yeah, the big curve's got a lot of street lights.
Driving them late for church, just like I hit one of them. That's it. My wife's going to lecture me.
I know. Well, you need that button.
Yeah.
Yeah, button to change the light.
Okay, how about you? What else do you hate?
Well, I was thinking about this. I think
it's... Next, Adam.
Yeah, I'm coming to you, so get ready. I think we all need a degree. I think debate's over. I think birria is just pot roast. And I don't know...
That's a cut of meat, I'm guessing.
It's become this trend in cooking and restaurants. There's a few in town now that just sell birria, which is like shredded beef.
Marinated.
Marinated. And then they serve you a little side of the au jus and you kind of dip the taco in there. I had it a lot when I was living in Mexico years and years ago. It was always made with goat and it's delicious. And here it's made with beef. But I've tried them all. It's all pretty much the same. I don't. Every time I mention it to a Hispanic friend of mine, they always say, "Well, yeah, but you haven't had my abuela's birria." Every time, right? Martin Smiley, he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, but it's just pot roast. So we need to settle the argument and move on from that. I think it's fine to offer birria, but we need something else. So, you know, birria shops and nail salons. Yuma needs more, a better variety, more things.
More nail salons?
No. We need more options than just taco shops and nail salons. So, but it call out to all our commercial real estate agents in town that we need to start getting different tenants in the buildings and things like that.
Okay.
Cookies and soda.
Cookies and soda's wine.
Cookies and soda.
And soda's wine.
And then more fitness. And gyms.
Gyms. There's a lot of gyms. Gyms are getting
there right next to you.
Where my really good client's good friend has gyms and really puts a lot of effort and work into making it just always changing, always evolving.
What was it? Let's give him a shout out.
Justin Hale with Fourth Avenue Gym. Yeah. Okay. So his family's got a legacy
of gyms, and he'll actually be doing a new gym behind our new Twisted Sugar building. I hope I'm not
really
information too early, but he's got a new one planned in Somerton.
Wow,
that'll start construction this year. Hopefully,
one by Walmart on 8E.
Yeah.
It's Fourth Avenue JR out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is awesome. 24/7.
We started designing that for him. We overparked it, right? You don't want to build a church for Easter Sunday. You don't want to build a gym so we increased the amount of parking. He ended up later having to buy the property next door and expand his parking because it was just packed. And a lot of the gyms you drive by are packed all the time. So the new one in Somerton, even more parking. And then the new one down in the valley, even more parking because they're just so popular. But they do a really good job when you walk into one of his gyms, and we just recently remodeled what we call the OG on 4th Avenue, the old gym.
Yeah.
We recently tore out the pool, did a big, building addition where the pool was. So he's got a new big, weight room and workout.
The pools are phasing out.
Pools are phasing out. The complex, another shout out to Doc and Linda Cook. They just celebrated 25 years. They opened that gym 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Doc and Linda Cook they're doing a gym. And I think Justin and his family do the same thing. They really see the gym as a way to improve people's lives. And I think that translates into how they run their business. In there, and everybody knows each other, and that's really cool. Yeah, it's a real family vibe. When I go to the gym, I know 6 or 7 people there. I don't know that you get that at like a Planet Fitness or a Crunch or any of those that are kind of the chain ones. I don't know. Other than a few workers, you might know some people, but those gyms have really cultivated like a lifestyle, and it works for them.
And I know the owners too, and they are very adamant about trying to prevent the diseases that are basically a pandemic in America with obesity, diabetes, and all the things that go along with that. And so they're really trying to focus on the cause rather than just the pharmaceuticals addressing the effect.
I was just listening to a podcast yesterday.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also the home of expert spray and bed liners, spraying mil-spec protective coatings, committed to unwavering excellence and unparalleled customer service. Expert liners, with available national warranty coverage and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray on team at Truckmates. Truckmates is also the home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And don't forget 3M window tinting, the originators of window tinting with nationwide lifetime warranty at Truckmates. That's expert spray and bed liners, BDS suspensions, 3M window tinting, and Snug Top, all at Truckmates. 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Ready? Go!
Okay, doctor.
Operation!
No,
hurry, time's almost up!
Okay. The most amazing care. Oh, Bethany!
Oh, I know! Shrine!
Time's up! Okay, our turn.
Ready? Go!
They changed my life.
Highness Hospital for Children!
Because people just like you, kids like me, can play in the game of life.
I can do things now that were impossible before.
I can draw.
I can play basketball.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you!
Go to loveshrines.org right away. Thank you!
Once upon a time, air conditioning was simple. It blew cold air, or it didn't. Today, air conditioning is more than cooling. Healthy, conditioned air is essential. When people ask me who I trust, I tell them. In Yuma, the only thing you need to know about air conditioning is Hansberger Refrigeration. Find them at HansbergerRefrig.com. That's Hansberger, R-E-F-R-I-G.com.
This is 560 KBLU, part of the El Dorado Broadcasters Radio Network.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
That was real enlightening. You know, the chronic illnesses that we all suffer from in our 40s and 50s, they really started in our 20s and 30s. And if we would make some lifestyle changes, then we could avoid those. The average American's on 4 prescription pills a day.
Yeah.
You know, and really all that's doing is treating the symptoms. It's not really helping with the issue, but, you know, how we eat, all that. I'm not the greatest example, but I've, you know, made changes, you know, in the last couple years of my life to try to mitigate that. I want to be healthy so I can travel, so I can enjoy the later years of my life. And
you just feel better.
You just feel better. Yeah. So I've, for the last year, I've been going to the gym 6 days a week. And I'm like, I don't even, who is this guy? And like, he likes going to the gym. That's never been me.
Yeah.
But I've been working out with a really good friend and it kind of caught the bug and love going to the gym. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, you feel better. You know, it's not, you just feel better. A lot of my knee pain and things like that are gone and stuff. And it's just good. And so I think if we can be healthier as a society, we can, those changes start now. So I'm trying to teach my kids, you know, to try to catch that bug and do that too.
Have you been out to Telegraph lately? Hike Telegraph?
No, but I'm on social media enough to see that, you know, this just must be a trail of people all the time.
Yeah, well, as you drive by, like I haven't been there for a while, but last time I drove by, somebody's graded the whole, like, parking area. Like, it used to be just rocks. You'd kind of go four-wheel driving to get to the beginning point of that hike. Yeah. So now it's all...
You're way back it quite a bit, right?
Not quite a bit. I mean, once a quarter, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Twice a year, maybe. But it's been graded. The reason I bring this up, you talked about Justin. And at the beginning of Telegraph, at the bottom, there's a couple porta-potties.
Yeah.
I see 4th Avenue Gym on. So he must have put those out there. What I really like about Justin is he's got this foundation here in Yuma that he gathers donations. He donates to it. And then it supports all the local high schools with equipment and stuff.
Yeah, he's in the Yuma Athletic Fund.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done some really good things with that. And I think that, you know, Yuma's the type of place where that kind of thing is recognized and then people appreciate it and turn around and support it. And so I think that's why his gyms do so well, is because they know
where to go,
family, and they know, you know, that the money's being, you know, used back into the community, and you're supporting this great family that has Yuma in mind. And I think that's when a business is successful in Yuma, is when, you know, Yuma recognizes that they care about Yuma. I mean, as kind of cliche as that sounds, but
yeah,
they want Yuma to be better. So it's great that there's people like that in town that really care about other humans. Yeah.
I
want to hear what you hate, number one. And then I want to hear about what outside of work is fulfilling in life that you really, you go home and you feel good. That was a well-spent day. So, Adam, what do you hate?
I don't know. The government?
That's an easy, yeah. It's a low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit. I mean, did you see this thing in Arizona that came out starting January 1st, 2025? You have to, if you have an off-road vehicle and it's licensed, now you have to go through a training class and have a specific sticker on it. If you don't and you get pulled over out in the desert, you know, whether it's a four-wheeler or it's a side-by-side, and you don't have that sticker on there, then they can fine you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get the training?
Online.
Oh, it's all line trains.
You have to go through thing. Yeah, through the Department ADOT, so Department of Transportation.
We just took ours out on New Year's Day and with my girls and had a great time. I mean, it's crazy how the landscape changes just a few miles outside of
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't know that you had to do that. Didn't you have something like that with jet skiing or something when you went to visit your...
Yeah, in Connecticut, I was on a jet ski, and I got pulled over on the lake. And they were going to arrest me right then and there because I didn't have a license to drive the jet ski.
Even though you've grown up with jet skis and been on the water, it's not good enough.
Nope. Oh, yeah. I'm from Arizona. I'm not even from here. They're like, hey, you're Connecticut now. You're about to find out. Think about it. The upside is the Connecticut prisons are probably nicer than my house here.
So. Probably.
Yeah.
And just full of, like, illegal jet skiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White collar crime.
Yeah. Sweater dropped around their neck.
It's like a country club.
So, Adam, you hate government, but do you see a need for it? So you just
put them out.
That's a good question.
Kind of like the sprinkler system. I don't like it, but
yeah, maybe it's necessary. We talked about the fire department and do they need to be there? But if there's a problem at my house, I want them there.
If I slip in a tub, I want that 40-foot truck.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you lived in Mexico years ago, right? And I imagine you saw from time to time power probably not supposed to be coming from this pole over to this house and then from this house to this shack over here to this pole.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I think there is a need to a certain extent for regulation, but when it gets a little onerous, that's like we talk about these side-by-sides and things like that. Is it a little overboard? I mean, registering our vehicles, we had your brother on the other day, and he talked about property taxes, and after he talked about that, I'm like, you know what? Why are we paying property tax when I own that?
That was a good conversation.
Obviously, it goes into this pot that funds, I don't know, making our roads better, I guess, you know. Are our roads that good? I don't know.
Roads better, parks and rec, fire, police.
Sure, all those yeah. So is there a need for it, you ask? I don't know. You know, I would imagine, first and foremost, defense. You know, I want to be able to, we want our government to defend us. I think that's their primary role.
Sure.
But I don't know if all these regulations. I think where my beef is with administrative agencies that just go rogue. Like, for example, this side-by-side law here in Arizona, it was all, my wife sent it to me on Facebook. And she
law or an administrative rule?
That's how they phrased it. That's how ADOT phrased it. Hey, just to let you guys know, Arizonans, ADOT's saying on their Facebook page, 2025, there's this new law that's in effect. And I'm like, a new law? I didn't vote for that.
That went through the...
I didn't vote for that. Yeah, did you vote for that? So what you're saying is you as an administrative agency just put this law into place and we have to abide by it? That's what I don't like.
The state government has given those agencies the authority because they're the experts.
Yep.
To make these administrative rules and regulations. So they're probably rules and regulations, not necessarily laws.
Yeah, but they call them laws and they enforce them like laws.
Sure.
And so and Vivek Ramaswamy is very famous for saying this, that there's three branches of government, not four.
Yeah.
And the administrative agencies, the three-letter agencies out there, have become this fourth branch of government, which has actually superseded really most of the invasive government footprint in our life. And we need to get rid of that. We need to have the people that we vote for be the ones that actually make the laws and enforce the law, but I guess the executive branch. So, I don't like administrative rules at all because they don't go through that same vetting process. And it's not the people that are electing those individuals. It's this bureaucracy that's entrenched. So, I get that. I hate that, too. Fulfillment.
That's what we're all seeking.
When you're not at the office, what are you doing?
Well, I might get in trouble, but I know my wife would like me to be doing chores.
Okay.
We've got a back patio.
What kind of chores? Yeah.
Back patio is constant. We live near some farmland, and so it's like just moon dust everywhere all the time, and we need to do a much better job of cleaning it. But when I'm not at work, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. So, but if I'm not doing chores, I love to cook. I love to travel. Traveling probably gives me the most fulfillment. It's kind of what I work for, is to be able to travel. I love to, my wife recently got me into fly fishing. Last couple of years, yeah, we've been doing that. And that is a good time.
Is she good? Can she?
She's pretty good. Yeah, she's pretty. She usually out fishing.
It's all about reading the current and seeing where the fish is.
Well, that's why fly fishing's so exciting. You know, it's different than spinner fish when you're catching and then you're reeling.
Or just throwing it a worm.
Yeah, exactly. So fly fishing, you're actually trying to read the water. You're trying to trick the fish into thinking that this fly that you're offering is food. And so you're trying to get it to act as much like food as possible. So it's actually very active. You're constantly, you know, using that. You're not just putting it up, you know, on a tree and taking a nap and waiting for an auger to drop. You're actively trying to figure where the fish might be and kind of outthink them and outsmart them. And there's a couple times where you've thrown that fly in and you know you've got it to float right over that spot where you know there's a fish. And you get to that point, it's only happened a couple times, but it keeps you coming back, is he's going to strike right now. And then boom, he hits it and you pull back. And that feels really exciting. And then,
it does. It's a shot of adrenaline.
Yeah, big time. And so I really enjoy that, hoping to do a lot more of that. But Rachel's been really good about introducing some new things in my life that I've never experienced before.
Does one person consistently come home with more fish? Or I guess Rachel's in release.
The times that we've gone, she outfishes me.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a cousin like that. We'd go to the same spots, and he would just hammer them all day. And if I got one or two, I'd be lucky. And like, we're doing the same thing. He's telling me how to do it, and I'm using the same fly. But there is a real art.
Yeah, and so it's been fun to learn that. So I'm on YouTube channels and watching videos and learning all the lingo and, you know, what's a tippet and all of these things. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I like activities like
with your travel.
Yeah, so usually around here there isn't a whole lot. You go bass fishing. You can fly fish for bass here. But we haven't done that. I need to do that.
You want trout, don't you? You go for trout.
To Idaho to fly fish. We're going to go to Utah this summer and fish up there. And we fished in Sedona a few months ago, and that was all right. And, you know, not a lot of big fish there, but beautiful. I mean, you can't beat a day, you know, standing in the river surrounded by God's beauty, and you're just out there slinging this line around.
It's one of the amazing places. I don't know if you've been there, but it's Horseshoe Bend.
I've seen it, yeah.
And the thing about that is there's huge trout there, and they consider it, now this is another administrative agency, considering it as an invasive species. So what's happened is the conditions are perfect. It's right below the Glen Canyon Dam, and so the water is constantly 50 degrees. Because it's coming right out of the bottom of the lake. And so it's perfect for trout. And there is some other species there. There is some toad or salamander, minnow, that was there when the Colorado was not dammed. And the trout came in with the perfect water temperature all year round. And it ate up a lot of those. The trout are beautiful fish, right? They're good eating. And for some reason, because they weren't natural before the dam, they are considered these invasive species that we got to get rid of. And so they will pay you, it's something like $20 a head. You just cut off the fish head and give them, like, you put it in an envelope with your name on it, and you put it in this box there.
Well, a postal worker has to deliver an envelope full of fish heads.
Yeah, it's a fishing game. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. And those fish are smart, but they're huge. And you can see them.
Oh, yeah.
Water is crystal clear for, like, 30 feet down. And anyway, give it a try there. But it's amazing. We took a group of boys out there for a young men's trip, and they all had fishing gear. And there was one that was, he was talented enough to hook them, but the rest of them were getting skunk. And it was so aggravating because they're just swimming under your
face. I see them. They're right there.
Yeah. Well, it's like you want to reach down and grab them, but, you know, they're smart. And for some reason, they are the invasive species.
Are you a good fisherman? We've never had this conversation. I don't see you as a very good fisherman. That's not a slight. It's just It's the patience thing.
Sure. I liked fly fishing better than anything else because of that. It was very active, and I'm short attention span. So I liked walking down the river and actually, you know, casting a line. I liked finding the – what I liked best was, you know, pulling up the rocks and finding the type of insects under the rock there. And like, okay,
fascinating.
That's what's going to work. And either trying to imitate that, I had a little fly tying kit, or just grabbing that actual insect and putting it on the hook and throwing it down. Now, when you do that, you only got one cast. Right. It's going to come off.
Yeah.
But, no, that was super fun.
I'm a horrible fisherman. I think I've been convinced over the years that I, like, put off a smell or something because I am horrible at it. And I really don't see – I just lack the patience, I think, is really what it comes down to. I feel like, why am I – doing this or casting a line, like, this is totally inefficient. I could use a car battery and just bring them all to the surface, or a stick of dynamite. Like, why are we doing it with a stick?
Sure, there's a rule of regulation.
A stick and a string? Are you kidding me?
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Upgrade your home with DreamLux Remodeling. Locally owned and operated, DreamLux proudly serves Yuma in the desert southwest using only the best products from Kohler, Delta, Anderson, and more. Elevate your home with grout-free luxury bathrooms and energy-efficient windows and doors. It's DreamLux for Yuma's best customer service, too. Schedule a consultation by logging on to DreamLux.us, DreamLux.us. Find out how you can get 15% off your complete project with DreamLux. Affordable luxury made easy.
License number 352-236.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to yumaadvertising.com. That's yumaadvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Rodeo is a window into our Western past that quickly became a unique and exciting sport. The tradition of rodeo is well preserved in our region thanks to the efforts of present-day Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo members. The first Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo was held in 1946, which is just a small piece of our rich heritage with rodeo heroes. The Yuma Silver Spur Rodeo continues to grow as tradition is kept for future generations and continued support of the Yuma community.
The Desert Lily Annual Quilt Show is coming up Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th at the Yuma Civic Center. There will be over 200 quilted items, a country store, a fat quarter basket raffle, vendor booths, and more. Two-day admission is just $8. Buy tickets for your chance at the Butterfly Kisses 2025 Opportunity Quilt, with proceeds going to Kids at Hope. For vendor information, call Carol Olson at 509-951-4529. The Desert Lily Annual Quilt Show, January 10th and 11th at the Yuma Civic Center. Don't miss it.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.